I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. While grieving her stillborn son, Chrissy Hollis shifted onto a path of spirituality. This soul-centered accountant shares her journey and how it opened her up to help her clients in a new way. This is such an awesome conversation as we explore abundance and prosperity from the inside out. She highlights for us how her grieving experience shifted how she approaches finances. She uses the numbers, plus helps business owners connect more deeply with themselves to unleash what is holding them back from abundance and prosperity. This is a conversation for anyone who wants to get a handle on their relationship with money. Chrissy Hollis, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Hello, good morning.
Thanks for deciding to have a conversation with me. More soul-centered people, so that's always exciting for me. And you call yourself a soul-centered CPA, CA, on a mission to help business owners bring prosperity to their life through a deeper connection with self and cash flow. Now, I was introduced to you through a business program that I was in and you were presenting. And the way you presented the material, so I knew it was going to be about cash flow and things like that. And, you know, it's not my biggest thing, you know, the most exciting thing for me to talk about. So I remember watching back your presentation but just the way that you presented things and talking about prosperity and envisioning and that kind of thing, it just was different. And you even say on your website that, you know, you are often told that you're not the typical accountant. You make things so simple, you know, you just get me. And I felt that too. And I hadn't even, you know, met you. We hadn't met in person. So I'm just curious, you know, where your story began or how come you go there? You call yourself a soul-centered CPA.
Okay, so we're going to get real, real fast.
which you do on your website, and you say, I'm going to get personal. So you do have a very personal story, which I was surprised, you know, that you were very open to tell it on your website. And so, but you could see that it was all linked. So what is your story?
So when I was 34, I was climbing the corporate ladder in my accounting world. I was within a corporation, climbing the ladder, doing very, very well. And we got pregnant. We were trying for a while. We were very, very excited about it. And 8.5 months in, we lost him. And my world just fell apart, including me. And everything that I thought was important to me really seemed very silly. And I found myself at this, I guess it was like an abyss that I never found the ground for a while. I know it sounds very dark, but when I leaned into it, I began to hear whispers of my heart, like my soul, and I rebuilt myself from there and realized how important the connection to ourselves really is. And from there, I tried to go back into the corporate world and it did not work.
Okay.
It was a very hard struggle to find how I fit in there. But there was this calling that was just bigger than me to share my heart, to share this connection with self that I found during the grieving process. So this underlining magic to it, if I dare say that. And so I stayed in my corporate job for about a year and it was a struggle. At the end, I left to go to another business, but I came with new rules for myself. So I looked at it and said, okay, what is it I need to thrive in connecting to myself? And I went into that interview with those boundaries and was accepted. I got the job. So what started happening from there was putting these boundaries in place that I needed to be me within my job. And how did that look, right? But also what I started finding was that I held space for the owners and the team in a different way as well. It wasn't just all about the numbers, right?
Mm.
And one incident that comes to mind right away is when I took the owner, or I attended the year-end meeting for the company with their accountant. And the accountant was talking about the numbers, told them what it means, but I'm looking at the owner and the owner is like a deer in headlights. Like, what are you telling me? Right. And they've been running this business for, you know, 1.5 decades by the time I came in. So
right.
1.5 decades of being lost on your numbers. Right. So then I just started explaining it in a way that the owner could process information. And then the business took off. So when I started at that business, there was just me and one other person in the accounting department. And within 5 years, it grew so much, we needed 7.
Wow.
And it's all because we started with the base of the numbers, plus we tapped into the intuitive knowing of the owner, right? So we used the numbers as, here's where you're at. This is, you know, using it kind of like a map.
Mm.
And then, so we got that logic piece, right?
Yeah.
And then with the intuitive piece, business owners know, like they own a business for a reason and they have a special unique thing to bring it to it. And they have a vision that no one else has. And that's why they run a business. And it's tapping into that and balancing it with the logic to make it work. And mm-hmm. when I saw this unfold over the 5 years there, I knew that more people needed this support, right?
Yes.
And I stepped out from that corporate job when, I just knew it was time to, mm-hmm. right? Is the call every morning, like, you know, when you get up,
right.
there's this call for something greater, something more, you're meant for something more. And there's just this calling and you can't ignore it, right? Like it's been there for years for me. And I know I'll be jumping all over my timeline, I'm sure, in this conversation. But when I initially lost Carter, part of my journey was going to a retreat, which taught me how to embody my grief. That was life-changing. And 5 years later, she certified that. So now I'm an embodied facilitator, right? So I bring that into the business, which I was intuitively doing with the owners anyway. But this journey took me on, you know, like theta healing, right? So tapping into that greater source. And then I did grief recovery facilitation because I was just like, I didn't realize when you know, that people lost babies at full term. Like it was just something I didn't know. And when you do, like, that's a huge loss, right? And
yeah.
it falls in between having a child on earth for a while and losing them and a miscarriage. And it's kind of like, it's all grief to me and it's all loss, but there's not a misunderstanding, but just a not knowing, right? And so my journey through that, I wanted to help others. So I got my grief recovery certificate and I did grief support for a while. And I did NLP, so that's neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, human design and trauma of money. So I bring all this into my services, which are similar to other accountants in a sense of, I'm going to help you look at your numbers and let you know what they say, but let's process the grief that comes up about those. Let's embody it to know what your intuitive knowing of the next step is, right? Mm.
So when you say process grief, you mean whatever trauma, I guess, is it the word trauma, struggles that come up for people around money? And
yes.
there's grief around that. And because you can relate or you know how to move through grief or help people navigate that, that is also transferable to helping people deal with grief around money?
Definitely, right?
Wow.
It's all connected. right? We all have trauma on money. If we think about what we've been taught about money growing up and not taught about money, right? Mm-hmm. There's trauma there. There's underlining of scarcity, of fear of not enough, which translates into fear of not being enough or not worthy, or, you know, if I have too much, I'm greedy, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us grew up in, you know, blue collar families, right? So if we cross a threshold of prosperity, there's a lot of shame and guilt and trauma to move through, right? Mm-hmm. And it can be subtle, right? Like, you know, like an owner might not realize, oh, like I'm full of shame of having too much prosperity this morning, you know, but it's there. And also our surroundings, like our outer environment, like what we're going through outside of our business, outside of our workday, is a mirror to what's happening within ourselves, thus what's happening inside our business, right?
It's all related, all connected.
All connected. And naturally, anybody I've ever worked with has opened up with those struggles that they're having in life. I just have that aura, I guess, you know. I could be standing in the grocery store line and somebody will tell me like they're, you know, their very big heartbreak or, you know, their struggle. And I'm just a complete stranger. Like it's happened, you know, since I was honestly a kid. Right.
Mm-hmm. I can relate. I tell my husband this exact same thing. He goes, I'll say to him, I was standing in the checkout or in aisle 5. And he goes, let me guess. Told me your life story or their life story. And you're, maybe there's a vulnerability or a softness or a safe. People often use the word safe.
Yeah.
I feel safe with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely safe, because safe to be vulnerable. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in that vulnerability, I mean, Brené Brown talks about it so perfectly. That is where creativity and transformation happens. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So I create that container for business owners to be vulnerable, so their creativity will come out. So their prosperity just happens. And another thing with doing that is I realized when I lost Carter how much I was in fight or flight, right? Like I didn't even know. And coming out of that, it was more important to move through my days not in fight or flight. And what happened with that is that gave a deeper connection to self. So what do I need to, you know, create some breathing room in my breath or space between my thoughts or relax my muscles a little bit. And that led to just little simple pockets of things throughout my day to make it easier, right? And then my body became this barometer of like red flags, right? Like you need to stop, create some room here so you can really see what's going on, right? Because this is a warning that this isn't right, or you don't have all the information, or you need to pivot, right?
Yes.
So in that all unfolded, you know, from that day, right? Losing Carter. Right.
Cause you say you went through a lot of soul searching. So at what point did you recognize, I guess you were in deep grief, that you realized you had to start paying attention, or even you said that you had whispers of the soul. How did you begin to listen to the whispers of the soul? Like, how did you tune into that? Like you said, you were in fight or flight response. And a lot of people can relate to that. They're just so tight or maybe have anxiety. And how do you release enough to hear something, or what was happening for you? Do you remember a moment or?
So it actually happened. I feel like Carter showed up and left so quickly to wake me up to that realization. So if I go back to the day that we lost him, when I woke up, there was this peace about me, yet a knowing that something wasn't quite right. And as I moved through the day, I actually started becoming the observer of my day. I was watching from up above and I could see myself.
You mean on the day that you lost him?
Yes. So this is before I knew that he was gone.
Okay.
I'm waking up, I'm getting ready for my day at work at the corporate job. And I'm driving to work and And honestly, like I just randomly started singing Kumbaya, like from Pioneer Girls when I was a kid. And I was like, what is that? And then when I got closer to work, there was a song on the radio that says, if I die young, bury me in satin. And I just started to cry, still not registering what's happening, right? And then when I got to work and I was at my desk, I was actually seeing myself from above working at my desk.
And you're having this like as a vision or a thought?
Yeah, it was like an almost what they might have described as an out of body experience, but it was like my soul was disconnecting myself from my body in a way to create calm so I could handle what I was about to go through. And then I went to lunch with a friend and then I started just getting uncomfortable pain. So I called my husband and the poor man was having a root canal at the time.
Oh dear. Gosh.
He came and picked me up. But as we drove to the hospital thinking, you know, like it's fake contractions, what everybody was talking about, right? It's my first child. So I don't know what to expect. And as we drew closer and closer to the hospital, I was up there watching us. Right. Mm. And there was this calm. There was no, this, I'm a first mother and I'm nervous. I don't know what to expect. It was just like something glided me up to labor and delivery. Right.
Wow.
And then on the table, the nurse couldn't find the heartbeat, but she didn't tell me that. She just went and got the specialist. Specialist brought in the ultrasound machine and they, you know, she just took a deep breath, turned around and looked at me and said, I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat. And then that's when this realization came that my heart was the way. It's broken right now, but it's the only thing that can tell me how to fix myself.
Well, in that very moment.
In that very moment.
Wow.
I started owning what I needed to do and when, like instantly.
Guided by your highest self?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Because I was still out of body. Right? Like I was still
and you knew it.
Down. And I knew it. I knew it that day when I was there because I was like, I feel this grief, but I don't really. So like I knew that the something was protecting me. And when looking back, it was just so clear, right? And I even my mom age, like our mothers want to protect ourselves, our children, I mean. And she's like, do you want me to go clean out the nursery? And like without even a thought, I said, no, I'm going to do that. Right. Like all of a sudden my heart was just, there was no pause between my brain and my heart and what I needed. It was like my heart just took over and it was the voice.
Wow. Right?
So I feel like that was the magic within the grief, which has led to this whole new way of living. But was it instantaneous? No, because there was a learning curve, right? So you learn in and out, but it was an instant learning, right? It was almost like this download, like this is the purpose of this and go with it. Because like, you know, I have a past of, you know, heavy drinking. And when I was a kid, there was drugs involved. So I could have gone a whole other way.
Yeah. Something conditioned, something that was familiar.
Right. Because I used that stuff to numb grief of the past, right? At that age. So it was this, I would say my higher self is this is the learning of this, you know, kind of put me into that. And it was only when I came home and crossed the threshold of my house that I fell back into my body.
Oh, really? You could actually, did it feel heavy? Did it feel?
I fell to the floor.
Really?
I couldn't.
Wow.
You have these like three steps that come up into the main living area and I couldn't make it up the three steps. Like I just, my body collapsed and I cried there until I was done, which was part of the magic too, because when do we allow ourselves to do that? Right.
Yeah.
And when I did, there was calm on the other side. So like when this heaviness would hit, if I just saw it through, no matter how scary it got, the other side of it was calm. Right. So I was like, wow, like I started to learn that emotions are information or things that need to move to create room for more healing or more laughter and joy to come in. I mean, I didn't see it that day. Right.
Sure.
But that's what has unfolded.
Wow. That's incredible. And so you said going through this whole thing, then I assume, and you've already basically said it, you know, Carter's experience, this brief, you know, I guess, connection with you, do you see his life as serving you as a higher purpose?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He brought you to, you said this whole experience opened you up to your spiritual side. I mean, if you were the person that everybody thought was so easy to talk to before, you know, and this opened you up to your spiritual side, is that this is what you're talking about, paying attention to your emotions, or is it even grown deeper than that?
It's deeper than that, but that is one of the gateways, right? Mm-hmm. So like our mind, our thoughts are our gateway into our deeper self. So our thoughts run on a hamster wheel, right? I think I heard somewhere something like 70,000 thoughts a day that are recycled from the day before.
Yeah, it's so a lot.
It's a lot, but it's also just based on perception and experience, right?
Yeah.
So when they get very worrisome, very close together, it's, for me, it's a sign of, oh, okay, I need to create space because this is telling me something needs to move, or there's more information here I need to access for my next step, right? Mm. And then the same with the emotion. So when you start to look at your thoughts, sometimes it will spark emotion, or there's emotion before the thought, right?
Yeah.
So emotions are the same thing. I know not to make decisions within the emotion.
Right.
But I know to drop into my body and go, okay, I see you. What, you know, like, let's ride this out to get to the calm on the other side so I can access the new information.
Wow.
It seems very abstract.
It actually seems logical. I think we haven't been taught enough about our emotions. And I hear this more and more about how our emotions are a GPS, or to pay attention to them, and maybe not even so much as fall victim to them, but to use them in a way. And I like how you describe it, to get to the calm on the other side. It's like, okay, let's go through this thing, to go into your body and actually explore, why am I sad? You know, am I being triggered? What's going on? And be able to process and move through that and get back to, peace, the internal suffering, right? to diminish that and reduce it in some way.
Exactly. And sometimes when you drop into the emotion in the body, and you ask what it's about or why am I being triggered, sometimes the answer doesn't come, but you know you're being triggered. You're like, okay, this is a trigger. So you breathe through it so that the emotion will move. So breath actually gives room for it to move quicker, right?
Okay. Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Even if you're full of snot and you think you can breathe, I guarantee you breath will come in through your nose. And the way to breathe is in through your nose and out through your mouth. Because if you just breathe through your mouth, you're going to give yourself more panic, right? Because it breathing in through the nose somehow brings the breath through the whole body.
Yes.
And then out through the mouth is just a big release, right? So, and I guarantee you, you'll find some breath in that, you know, snotty mess if you get there, because I've been there and I've gotten that breath.
And I know the importance of breath too, but I like how you frame it up and saying that it helps you move through the emotions. Just that idea of, you know, certainly no breath can calm you down, but just the articulating it in that way, it's such a tool, to help you. But I think that's why it helps you. It actually is helping moving you through the emotion. It's not just calming you down. It's actually maybe swimming through it. Moving through it, navigating it in some way.
Yeah, it's giving it some movement, right? So like breath, like wind, right? It's giving it some movement. And the last thing somebody wants to hear when they're full of anxiety or anger or grief is calm down, right?
Yes, but not easy to do.
But you can tell them, just breathe a little deeper. Like, let's, you know, breathe with me or something, right? And sometimes even just breathing with them, right in front of you will help, because they'll just automatically start doing it. But
yeah, it's so funny. I've had this exact experience with helping someone through an anxiety or panic attack. And I intuitively knew to use my breath and ask them to match their breath to mine and breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And it after moments they did. And it's like you brought them down from a clot, like they were coming down. And that's just exactly what you're describing. So I intuitively know, and I guess we all know about our breath. Maybe we don't. but to use the power of it, how that can bring us, and that's exactly what it did. It helped the person move through that emotion to get to a place where you could actually deal with what was going on.
Exactly. Because if we stay in the circle of why, then we're stuck in the story and we're just stuck in a loop. But if we just give it, know that it's just a wave of something and give it breath, it can move. And imagine what your purchase is and what your sales may look like if you do that before making decisions.
Coming into the present moment, really.
Right.
And making them from there. Because to me, your highest self is found in the present moment, that portal to happiness, the portal to everything. And to clarity is really what you're saying. Because now I can see it for what it is and not making an emotional purchase or something else tied to it.
Right. And when it comes to sales, you could be cutting it off, right, in some way.
Yes.
And so, yes, coming to that calm, that present moment, I like to call it window of resilience, which is what Trauma of Money calls it.
Okay.
And it really resonates with me because that is where your resilience is, right?
Speak more to that. So in the present moment, you call it a window of resilience. And so how is that a window of resilience?
So the concept, I believe it comes from window of tolerance in psychology, I think. Okay. So in Trauma of Money, they call it window of resilience because it sounds really good, especially when you're talking about financial things, right? Resilience inside your company. So there's two end of the spectrum and the window of resilience is in the middle. So say the left-hand side of the spectrum would be emotions like avoidance or a freeze response, right? You cannot be productive from that space, right?
No.
So it's to acknowledge that and do what you need to move through that to that state of calm. So to relax the muscles, to relax the nervous system really is what it comes down to, right?
Yes.
And then the other spectrum, the other end of spectrum, so say the right-hand side, is like the anxiety, the panic, right? And sometimes the overjoy, you know, sometimes we tend to go overboard in our spending when we're celebrating high emotion too, right? So it's like the high end. So it's to ride that through because the anxiety, the panic, that constricts your body, right?
Yes.
And to find the calm, calming the nervous system again. I keep coming back to that because that's really how simple it is. But it's to honor and take the steps to do that. We feel so overwhelmed in the thought of, oh, I got to calm my nervous system because we're so used to fight or flight. But honestly, like going through these steps and realizing and acknowledging, say, like the panic I'm having, I acknowledge it and see it. Oh, this is a trigger. This is panic. And I begin to say, deepen my breath or find my feet on the floor or go for a walk. Those little things really help me. Everybody's different. Like I have clients that need to run, right? Like that is the quickest way for them to find that window of resilience. Some of them need to dance. Some of them need to paint. Like
they need to get rid of that energy or get back to that space so they can operate from there. Because I'm thinking you feel like part accountant, part therapist when you're dealing with your clients. And it's a very unique thing because it is more than just the numbers. I mean, you could be very matter of fact and saying this is how it is. But I have a feeling your intuition comes into play. And how does that show up in the workplace then? Are you acknowledging challenging, influencing the your clients to see their money in a new way?
Totally. And honestly, I can't work with anybody who's not willing to do that, to go there, because it's so natural for me, right? So intuitive for me to just go.
Because do people think that's woo-woo? If you've talked to people and they go, what is she talking about? This has nothing to do with my trauma.
I don't use those words. That's the thing. And that's the magic of it, is that those words don't need to be used. right?
Okay.
So we could, you know, go through their financial results. And then I would say, like, say if I saw them tighten, like their jaw tighten or something.
Yeah.
I would just bring that. Like, I saw you react. You're tightening your jaw. Like, what thought came up for you there? Right.
You're coaching them. Yeah.
Right.
Good then, job, Chrissy.
And then we go from there, but I bring them into, oh, wait, look how you responded physically. Right.
Yeah.
So that they can come into their body. And then I always say, well, was there a thought that came with that? Because that's also a golden nugget. Right.
Yes.
And then we just unfold it from there. And if I see it clearer than them, I don't tell them because it's about them learning this. Right. Yeah. And it just,
they must appreciate that so much though, for you to actually notice those subtle differences in them, because it provides them an opportunity to walk through it at the door and be vulnerable, to be able to admit something or share their fears.
Yes, definitely. And I get so many heartfelt messages after.
I bet.
It's not, you know, it's about changing their lives. Like even they're finding their voice more inside their life. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking of this one client in particular, and she stepped into a business role without a whole lot of business background, but the opportunity sparked inspiration and it was there. And just after 3 or 4 months of coaching of, you know, that embodiment, and she's off to the races, right? Like she's doing such amazing things. And just showing her numbers and telling them what I mean would not have gotten her there that quick, right?
So what is the magic then? Because you're the accountant saying to them, here are the numbers, you're giving them a reality check. So how is what you're doing help release something inside of them? Because you actually say, you know, money struggles bury inspiration and cause burnouts. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. So what is the shift that happens by having those conversations other than just the money that allows them to grow their business or, you know, because it isn't just about moving it around on a ledger.
No.
So what happens with them?
What happens is they connect more to their higher self, let's say, like using the language within our conversation, right?
Right.
So when you start noticing how you physically respond and the thoughts and creating that space to know more about it, then new information comes in, but that information is coming in from yourself, like your higher self,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like your truth, like your authentic truth, not what experts have been telling you your whole life or what you've been taught. And it dismantles limiting beliefs without having to dwell on them.
Right.
And it gives them the courage. So like coaching them, supporting them, and them taking action that they decide that's right for them. I encourage them to take that and support them in the execution of it. And they see that it works. So they're willing to do it again.
So for example, if maybe their sales numbers were down, just having the conversation with that maybe, and maybe they're having the conversation for the first time about what they truly want. Maybe they want to change focus and go after a certain market. Or is that what you're talking about? It releases something within them that gives them the courage and confidence then to switch gears or to go for it in some way, as one example.
Yeah. So like what's coming up for me is if we talk about sales and the sales are down and then the owner's talking about how hard it is, how much of a struggle business is. And then, you know, I throw out potential opportunities that they may be able to take advantage of and they keep shutting them down. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then I bring their attention to that. Right.
Yeah.
So bring them to a space where they can see other possibilities for themselves.
And then that gives them that maybe they've just thought about that for the first time in a long time, or just finally created the space to think about it.
Right. And sometimes it doesn't happen instantaneously in that conversation.
Right.
But what does happen is they notice how much they're shutting down opportunities.
Yeah.
Right.
Even awareness.
Yeah. Awareness, right. It starts with the awareness, the witnessing of it, right. It was so important, which is why I feel like I came up that day when I lost Carter, I came up into that view. It's like my higher self says, like, you need to witness this piece, right? You need to witness this because this is going to bring you so much quicker into the learning that I need you to learn right now.
And I have goosebumps when you say that. And when you talked about that, when rising above yourself, like just filled with goosebumps, because I feel like that is the way. If we literally can give ourselves even that 10,000 foot view of our life. And, you know, if you can't feel that experience of leaving your body or of being able to be guided by your higher self right away, but be able to sort of detach from what's happening and move back a little bit. And it just gives a whole different perspective.
Yes. And I use this example with a client, a hayfield, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're in your problem or if staff's in their problem and they're down in the hayfield, they can't see very far because the hay is about as tall as them, right? Or like a cornfield, mm-hmm. right? But if you're up in the helicopter, yeah. you can see what's going on from a bigger perspective, right? So when you're stuck in your problem, you have tunnel vision, right? So when you yes. can detach from the emotion, from it, from the thoughts of it, and find that in the moment presence, it expands and so much more can come yeah. in, right? And she just loved that hayfield example. She's like, yeah, I can handle that. I could take that with me. And she started to approach discussions within the operations that way. And yeah. and then they just hit four-wheel drive. Like they were stuck in the mud. And when you know, we worked through a little bit and that analogy kind of solidified it for her, then they move through so much so quickly.
It is. And I think just that idea of holding space. So I love the fact that you are a soul-centered CPA and do that for people, because I think, oh my gosh, that's so powerful. You use the numbers plus just holding space for people and giving them new ways of looking at things. I mean, it's so powerful. I mean, what are some of the shifts that you have seen in your clients as a result of using this approach?
Well, that example with the woman into the business yeah. where she didn't have a business background, and she's the same one about the hayfield, right?
Yeah.
They were growing quite quickly. And when you grow quickly, you come across a lot of obstacles quickly, and you need to move through them. And so to watch them actually move through them and then exceed even more than they thought they could, right?
Yeah.
And then one client who was struggling cash flow wise wasn't going to make it through the month. And then it was two months of coaching. She now has enough money to last her 4 months inside her operations. Mm. And that's just it keeps growing from there. Like, you know, I keep getting messages. I'm good for, you know, at first it was, I'm good for 2 months. I'm good for three. Now I'm good for four, right?
Live another day.
So,
and what happens with them in terms of their inner self, in terms of, I guess, how would you frame it up in terms of maybe their creativity? What gets unleashed other than obviously their business is growing or they give themselves some breathing room to keep going? What do you see happen within the business leader themselves?
The first thing that pops up is joy. Mm. So everything's more joyful, right? Like freedom inside the body, moving through the day. So their interactions with their kids are more soulful, right? Because they're carrying less anxiety around. And stepping into the leadership within themselves, I mean, they're just being so truthful inside their business of who they are and what they represent, that they're showing up so much brighter too, right? So it's in believing in themselves. It's so great to see and hear. It's like, you know, my kids are young, they're 5 and 6, so they're still learning, right? So it's so potent to see them actually tangibly learn something, and they get so excited, right?
Yes.
It's the same thing with the business owners.
We're all children inside.
Well, we are, right?
And our inner child, yes.
So relationships with themselves get mended, relationships around them get mended, or boundaries get put up where they need to be put up. They just create the life that they want to live from the inside out. Mm. Right?
I love that. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, because you can have all the systems. And systems are good. Systems are needed. But if you don't do the inner work, you're going to struggle with the system.
Right. That makes complete sense.
Right. And I've seen it in my 2.5 decades of working with business owners, leaders. I've seen it again and again. If you don't do the inner work, the struggle stays. The money patterns in the business remain.
Nothing changes unless you do.
Right. So there's no way I can provide a service to somebody without going there.
So heads up, business leaders, you're going there. But I think that is so powerful because it is more, I mean, even the reason why I do this podcast, it's the kinds of conversations that we need to have. I mean, even just having this conversation right here, we're holding space for each other to have this and bring this out into the world, that someone may hear this and go, oh, maybe that's why I'm having money struggles in my business. I mean, even if they're hearing this personally, right, there is a reason why we shop or we buy or we do, you know, do all sorts of things. And maybe it'll just make people stop and think or question their relationship with money and ultimately their relationship with themselves.
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of what I see is, you know, fear of scarcity, fear of not being enough, or the sense of urgency to actually make a purchase. Like if someone were to just slow down their purchase decision, that in itself, you'll notice you'll make a lot less, or you'll make ones that are more of an investment in terms of meeting your intentions and your goals and what you really need. Right. Mm-hmm. So like everything is so like now, everybody runs on this sense of urgency, and that does play within people's purchasing. Right.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you're talking about these mindsets around money, like scarcity, not being enough, or some people, you know, have had nothing and then they suddenly experience a lot of prosperity. How do you help or approach people move through those mindsets or shift it? Or is it everything that you're saying? It's the questioning and it's holding the space and letting things come up? Or do you have sort of some tips or tricks or ideas around helping people move through those attachments around money?
Well, the first one would be to slow it down, right? Mm-hmm. Because you need to create that space and find that window of resilience, right? And sometimes moving through that is asking like yes or no questions are the most potent. Mm-hmm. Right? Not everybody from an intuitive point of view can contemplate an open-ended question. It can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming. Yeah.
Right. So is this purchase because I'm fearful I won't have enough to do what I need to do? Or do I have enough to complete this? Or can I complete this service without this? Can I provide the value I want to without this? Mm-hmm. You know, like putting the contemplation in yes or no questions. And what that does is set in the awareness, right? That witnessing, because, you know, as soon as you see that, it starts to dismantle. You can't unsee it.
Right. It's so true. Yeah. I like the idea of slowing it down, because how many times have you done it yourself? If you went out, you were talking to a salesperson and then you're going to buy something. And then if you just give it a little space and say, let me think about it, you will maybe eventually talk yourself out of it versus making an impulse like, sure, put it on my Visa and off you go.
Right. And right? It's not only just not spending your money. Like this isn't what it's about. It's about getting clear with yourself that the purchase matches your values, intentions, and your higher self, right? How many times have we gone out and compromised on a sweater, right? And then, you know, you put that money out there and you don't love it. You don't really wear it, right?
It's true.
It's an outer experience, like I was talking before, of the compromising within yourself. Yeah. Right. So there's no more compromising. Where do you want your money to go? Right. So this is the money you have. Where do you want it to go? Right. So it's attaching the deeper values to the purchase, not about how can I not spend money? Right.
And one of the things I've learned, I came to learn about money You know, when I was younger, and I lived in Ontario at the time, I would spend a lot of time. I didn't have a lot of money to shop, so I probably didn't do a lot of purchases, but I'd probably buy little things just the sake of doing it. And what you're doing is getting like a hit. It's almost like a drug. And you're satisfying yourself because really what it was about is I was struggling with figuring out what I should do with my life. I just didn't want to be with me. And I didn't have any family around. I just had my husband at the time. Well, he's still my husband, but at the time he's my boyfriend. it was just us. And really what I was avoiding was me because avoiding who am I, all those questions. I think it was just trying to create busyness. And that's one thing I've come to know now is when I realize shopping or doing something like that is really avoiding. I realize I don't even really shop anymore. I don't go to seek out being filled up in other ways because I'm content with what I'm doing and working on now in my life.
Right. Because you have that deeper connection with self.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think a lot of people make that connection. You know, it may be money. It could be drinking. It could be any number of vices. But it's the idea of being able to sit with ourselves and with our emotions and what's going on in our life and not trying to fill it up with a quick hit.
Yes, exactly. And that is the soulful way of living, right?
Yeah.
And I mirror all of that. Like when I was in a space before Carter, like, yeah, I was climbing the corporate ladder. I had a house. I had the truck I wanted, but I was miserable inside.
Yeah.
And I spent money all the time. Like my credit cards were maxed. You know, it didn't matter if I was making, you know, $25,000 a year or $80,000 a year. It was paycheck to paycheck and I was climbing debt because it was those little hits, right? It was the purse, the leather jacket. It was going out with friends. It was the drinking. It was.
And what was it really for, right? You know, is it proving that I can? And then ultimately it's about being good enough. I mean, I think a lot of time it just boils down to that. Am I enough? You know, people buy things. I mean, why does branding work? Why do you buy a certain kind of car? It makes you feel a certain way or anything.
Yeah. And I think it's important that our purchases do make us feel good, but it's at a deeper level, like I said,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The values, absolutely. The intentions. And yes, and that's another realization is that all of marketing is feeding to a weakness or a vulnerability.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
That's consumerism. And it is the world that we live in, right? So we're also living in the time of, you know, grand awakening, like all these hardships are pushing us in a corner to find out what's important to us. What's my value? What do I stand for? And that it's just getting more and more important, that connection with self.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway, you know, thinking that we're going to talk about money, but which we are, but I love how we're constantly intertwining this idea. Money is just sort of the platform that we stand on to have this conversation. We could move to any sort of platform. It's always about this connection with self. And I love what you say on your website, what it's like working with a soul-centered CPA. And I just want to use, you know, call out some of the words that you use. Yes. And the first one is compassion. You say, I see you, I hear you, and get you as a human first. And I think that is so valuable because most people just want to be seen and heard. You know, that you actually care about, you know, what you're going to do for them. And you also say depth, that you go deeper than the textbook story of what's unfolding for your company, which I think you've highlighted how you do that today. And wisdom, no more deer in the headlights over financials, you know, that you help to, you use intuitively. My delivery is a translation of numbers in a, you know, with that intuitive function added onto it. And of course you say clarity, there's no fluff working with me, straight to the point. So, you know, those are unusual words. You know, when you go to websites that deliver similar services, it's always, you know, we benchmark and we're beating the optimum this and the effect of that. You don't see compassion, depth, wisdom, and clarity. And I like that.
Yes, like and that. That's me. And as you can tell from this conversation, I can't be any other way.
Yeah. And that's your authentic self. That's the beauty of it. You know that you're connecting with an authentic soul and you know what you're getting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to say about this conversation that's come up for you that I haven't asked you about?
What's coming right now is just kind of an invitation for everybody to open to the breadcrumbs, right? To the signs, to, you know, maybe a whisper in your thoughts that might not match the others, or an invitation to take, you know, 3 deep breaths in a day and see what happens. You know, just take the small little steps and follow it, right?
And follow it, yeah. People can find you on your website at chrissyhollis.com, and you can find you online at Instagram and Facebook at Chrissy Ann Hollis. And I'm going to end this conversation with your mission. And you say, my mission is to help business owners like you create real change within your money path, bringing to life prosperity within yourself and your cash flow. It's all connected, you say. And indeed, it is all connected. Thank you, Chrissy, for this conversation. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.